Hello and welcome to Bricks and Banter, the show with real talk from the custom LEGO community. I'm your host as always, Billy, and today's guest is the Flex Master himself. He's like a vegan, except it's concerning a set of figures Citizen Brick made 8 years ago. It feels like he's been 14 years old for as long as I've known him. The Brick Loot CEO himself, Parker, aka PK Custom LEGO. Before we jump in, I just want to apologize for the audio quality. There was something that messed up with my recording. I don't know what's the deal, but halfway through we had a restart because of some audio issues, and then I cleared up. It annoyed me just as much as it might annoy you as I had to record. Really sorry about it again, but I hope you enjoyed the episode anyways. Let's jump right into it.
And here we are with Parker, aka PK underscore Custom LEGO. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to the podcast. It's been a minute. Been wanting to get you on here, and so I'm glad we made it happen.
Oh, been wanting to get me on here? Oh, that's different from what I heard.
It's like it's the nice thing to say. You know, it's the courteous thing.
Oh,
make
yeah.
Your guests feel like you wanted them on, you know. I was reading How to Podcast for Dummies, and that's what it told me. It also said like I shouldn't like scam like the guest, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, those books, you just can't trust what they say.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, if you're interested, I have a book coming out next month about how to scam in the LEGO community 101. So you might want to check that out. It's going to be on Audible.
Is it called like More code. Scamming? Like M-O-H-R
yeah.
Scamming?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. More
or
scamming
how to
101.
How to get more bang for your buck.
How more scamming
How to get more bang for your buck. A scammer's guide to custom LEGO.
How to get chicks with your bricks.
I'd read that.
I know. You could use it.
We're off to a great start.
So, anyways, I have a feeling this is going to be the whole episode. We're going to make no progress.
Yeah, I know.
Just starting off here, I'm just interested to understand your origins because, as many people know, you are the founder of Brick Loot, which is a subscription-based LEGO service. And I'm not sure where things like coincide, if you just got into LEGO normally and started Brick Loot and then found all the custom stuff, or you into custom stuff, like how'd that unfold?
Okay, so this might be like a little bit long. I'll try to make it as concise as possible, but I've always been into LEGO, like as long as I can remember. Like, I can't ever remember a point in my life where LEGO wasn't a part of it and I wasn't building LEGO on a regular basis. I've never gone through any dark ages. I've never had any of that stuff happen to me, so I've just always been interested in LEGO. And I've had the benefit of, it used to be a different location, even more closer to my home, but Brick World Chicago is right near me. I mean, where it is now is like 40 minutes from me, where it used to be at the West End Hotel. That was 20 minutes from me. And if you've been to Brick World Chicago now, it's 100,000 square foot convention center. It's massive. But at the West End, it was like four conference rooms. Like, it was literally like super small. And I've been there every show since 2008. So that was like my first ever exposure to custom LEGO, you could say. I mean, like I bought like Brickforge when Brickforge was brand new. Like Brickforge. I mean, like when Brickforge was a huge deal at conventions, when Brickforge used to still vend at conventions. They might do now. I don't know, but they didn't.
I think
for
they
a
only
long
really
time.
Work through resellers, the Brickforge people.
Yeah, I don't know.
At least
but
since
anyways,
I've been in, I've always seen it like that.
Yeah. So Brickforge like was kind of like my first ever like custom LEGO stuff I owned, actually. Like I was so excited at like Brick World every year. They had like these $6 accessory packs. So it may be like a gladiator pack, and it was $6, and you got like everything you need. You got like two swords.
Yes, I love
those slapped. Like, oh my god, those were so awesome. But they didn't have all of them online, so they had like more if you were at Brick World. And they'd give you like freebies, I think, and stuff. So anyways, that was like my first ever custom LEGO, and I've just been going there every year. I was even there in 2011, first ever con appearance of CB. If you're a real CB fan, you know that's when Action Abe appeared. I was there. I was oblivious to the history I witnessed. I could have made thousands of dollars.
If only thousands?
Yes.
Only thousands? Dude, the regret I have, not even of like, just the things that have crossed my path and totally just let go without thinking, just being young and not so interested in the pop culture like CB stuff, it kills me.
I want to get more back into that later, like the stuff you missed out on. Like,
Oh, no doubt.
Some, yeah,
no doubt. No doubt.
I think that's
we could cry. We can hold hands and cry together.
Yes,
because it's.
I'm gonna go down to Couple Town right now so we can hold hands.
I'll be right there. I'm taking the Brick Loot van now.
Anyway, so Brick World, like I'd save maybe like $50 for a Brick World, and that like that's all I saved. That was probably like 3 or 4 months of saving. Mm. Like. Just because, like, Brickworld was a big deal because it was, like, the only place to buy, like, that kind of custom Lego stuff without, like, buying it online. And as, like, a kid, like, if I wanted, like, one at Brickforge, I think they used to have, like, $20 order minimum or something on their website.
Mm.
So, like, at the con, like, you could just get anything.
Yep.
So,
I mean, being a kid, it's always harder to get access to online because you got to be like, Mom. I swear the website's not a scam. Can you put your credit card in, please?
Oh, it's definitely like that.
So much harder.
Yeah. But anyways, I'd save for those conventions. And I saw like the booths like Eclipse Graphics and CB. But I always thought like, oh my God, like $15, $20 for a figure. That's
Same.
That's 40% of total budget.
So much. Yeah.
Like I'd rather get like 5 Brickforge packs. And that was a mistake.
And now the Brickforge stuff is literally worth pennies on the dollar.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, they still make some good stuff. Their weapons, like the guns aren't too good, but like their shields and armor, I think are some of the best, actually.
Yeah.
Hot take. But
yeah, they have a lot of good sword shields and shields.
Yeah, they did one time, like a few years ago, they did like these almost like metal coated like swords and stuff. They were really nice. I bought a few. Like, I don't place Brickforge orders often, but when they posted those, they were like, they looked really good. And they're really good in person. Hmm. Anyways, so one year, it might have been like 2012, 2013, Al would know better. CB was selling mini bigs figures at a convention. I didn't know they were printed by CB at the time, but like me and my dad loved looking at like custom Lego minifigures online, and we actually used to look at like Al's site back in the day when he had like decaled figures and stuff.
Oh man.
But we'd never bought anything, so like we saw the minibigs, Zombie Al, I think the figure was called, at Brickworld, and I'm like, oh, I have to buy that. So I actually spent like the $15 on a figure, and that was like my real first custom minifigure ever. I didn't know it was CB at the time. I just thought they were selling minibigs.
Reselling.
And I didn't buy it because it was CB. I just bought it because it was minibigs. So that was really my first custom figure. And then it kind of, I still went to Brickworlds and stuff.
The minibigs number one fan, honestly.
Maybe.
All the way from back then, still repping the minibigs.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, 8 years. It has to be 2012 or 2013, because 2014 is the only Brick World I've ever missed. And I knew it had to be before that, because after that was when I had Brick Loot.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's kind of like where it ends. And then I was aware of Eclipse Graphics and Citus Brick. I've been a Flickr lurker since I was like probably like 7. Because, like, if you Google custom Lego on the internet, like, Flickr is what comes up, or used to come up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, that was the face of it.
I was, like, I knew about it, but I didn't buy it anyways. So I came up with the idea for Brick Loot in 2014. People have probably heard the story already, but, I mean, like, I started a garage sale. I had an idea. I got a bad subscription box for my birthday. I thought a Lego box would be much better. So then we're working on it later that year, and we're like, we should do a custom Brick Loot minifigure in the box. And we're looking up custom printers, and I'm like, what about Citizen Brick? And we find out he's in Chicago. Like, he's located in Chicago. So we email Joe, and Joe's like, sure, come by and visit. So that year, I think it was probably September or October of 2014, I went to CBHQ and met Joe. And I will never forget, like, I did the most awkward I'd never done a meeting before. And I went to shake his hand with my left hand. I'll never forget it because it was so awkward. But like, that was literally my first time meeting Joe. I'll never forget that.
Oh, man. I mean, I can't blame you. You're a youngin'.
But... yeah. Oh, and I actually missed part
of the story. That's crazy. I never really knew the connection.
Yeah, but besides just doing a brick loop figure, it was the worst idea. Looking back now, we were doing for our first ever kit in December. It's like a robot. Our first ever brick loop said it's a robot. And like the chest opens up and we're like, what if the robot is pregnant? And we put a robot, like a baby robot in it. And we're like, why is you do robot babies, bro? And we were going to put it inside. And then like... he didn't have enough time to do that because we realized, oh, he has to spray paint each of those heads because that's what he used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, looking back, like, I'm so happy we didn't do that because that's, like, really
honestly,
weird.
Though, that'd be so coveted, though. That'd be so coveted, the OG Brick Loot Citizen Brick Baby. Come on.
Well, he did a robot people baby now. He's done one since.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is funny.
But I met him, and actually, I know I've shown it to you before. It's like, I'll send you a photo. You could add it to the wrap up if you want. I have like a gray baby, like a gray CB baby that he gave me there. And that was like my first ever real CB piece. And I was looking at him like, really? Wow, the spray painting's really nice, except like the minibigs. But this is like the first thing that I was aware that was CB that I ever got. And it was from Joe because we were thinking about doing the babies. And he's like, here's a baby I did. And it's basically one of his OG babies just misprinted on gray or light gray.
That's awesome.
So I have that still. And in the end, we just ended up doing Brick Loot logo torsos, which is now the DJ Parker Flex torso as well. So that's kind of what happened then. Ever since then, later that year, December, like only a couple months later, I went for the first time to the Cantigny Lego train show. And Joe was a vendor there. Mm. Oh, wait, let me back up a bit. Brickworld Fort Wayne that year, it's October. This was after I met Joe. I met the guy. We went out for dinner with the guy who actually used to own Brickforge. And he told me, oh, if you like CB, next time you see him, ask to see the stash. So that December, I went to Cantigny. Joe happened to be there. And I asked, hey, can I see the stash? And he brings out the stash. And it was, I mean, looking back, there were misprint Norwegian heads in there. There was a light flesh ink enthusiast. There was a light flesh ink enthusiast, but he said it was on hold for someone. But like, I got some heads that are good. I have most of them today. I traded those Norwegian things. But I have most of what I got. Like, I got a real misprint head, like one of those heads that's actually genuinely a misprint and is messed up and has ink splattered on it. Like, it was one of the best bins ever. I wish I took more advantage of it because that kind of show, maybe I brought $120. Like, $120 is a lot of money, but it won't get you very far in the bin and at Victor's booth and at the other booths there. Like, it won't get you very far at that kind of show. So that was kind of, and ever since then, I kind of been addicted going to different shows, Brickworld Chicago, the main one. And since I have Brick Loot, I go to all the local, kind of not local, but Midwestern shows, and Joe is usually there. So I'm always in the bin, and I've just kind of been a collector ever since.
Wow, that is quite the backstory for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of long, but I mean, it's started almost... I mean, over 6 years ago, I've been doing it, like, deep dive. I mean, like, I think 2015, 2016, I started getting into Flickr. Like, I actually made a Flickr account. Sadly, most of my photos are gone now because when they did the stupid 1,000 photo limit garbage, it was like, okay. And they kind of forced you at the beginning to back up all your camera roll. And they hit me at the worst time, like my old iPad, I lost everything on it. So I'd lost all my photos on it. So it was like either delete those photos I had backed up on Flickr or delete like an old CB post I had. So I deleted the CB post rather than like delete like family vacation photos. So like most of my old Flickr stuff you can't find anymore.
I mean, in hindsight though, which was really more important.
Yeah. I mean, like, of course. I mean, I have photos there that I'm like really happy now that I kept. Like, I have them of like my grandma's dog that like I was good friends with and he passed away. So like now I have those photos stored there and I'd much rather have those than like my CB day one loot picture or whatever. But yeah, that's kind of my origin story. I met a lot of people on Flickr. I mean, I probably talked to you on Flickr, I'm sure. I don't have any exact memories.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we did.
I'm sure we interacted on Flickr. Main person I interacted with on Flickr who got me to transition over to Instagram before the big Instagram migration kind of happened, before the 1,000 photo limit, was Citizen Collector. You may know him as Jason if you know him, but he got me into Instagram. And then I started to kind of post on both. And then once the 1,000 limit thing happened, I kind of transitioned fully to Instagram. And that's where I kind of exclusively am now.
Yeah, I think we interacted on Flickr just for you to scam me. I believe you were actually my first ever trade because I was very, very hesitant to do online trades. Just because it was like sketchy, like, oh, what if I get scammed? What if I get scammed? Like, I was always so nervous about that. And I recall that you were literally the first one. And you stole my blue Ava, which is
red
up. Or red Ava. Yeah, Jake has the blue one, but I can't even recall what I got in return, but definitely not enough.
I don't remember either. You definitely got a good
I'd love
deal
to
for
find out what
you
I
definitely
got
a
that.
Good deal for the black Phillip though, so I think it evens out.
Yeah, we have. We've always done good trades, even if it takes us like 5 months to complete them.
I mean, like, recently, like we've done two quick ones recently.
We've done two quick ones, and it's insane. It's
actually, in a row.
We're really due for, like, a couple-month trade right now, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I always appreciate that we can always do a fair swap where everyone's like, all right, I'm really happy with what I got. And, yeah, there's no
better
than
that.
I don't
feel the same way.
And people nowadays don't want to trade as much.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I mean... I mean, like, I actually really like trading because, like, if I'm at a convention, I'll always usually try and pick up extras to kind of trade because, like, a lot of people I feel like don't, like, if they have something really good, they don't want to sell it, but they'll trade it if I have something they want, which is why I don't, like, post too many sale posts
exactly.
anymore because, like, I'd much rather trade because the money that I sell stuff for is just going to go back into CB and other customs. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, you can't always take that cash that you sell for a rare item and put it directly into another rare item. Like, there's a value in having something old so that if you're going to end up just buying, trying to get more Citizen Brick out of it or whatever other Lego it is, then, I mean, trading can be a much better option. Gives you a lot more potential to get stuff.
The guy I got my Action Abe from, Flex, I traded for, but like a dozen people messaged him before me like, hey, would you ever consider selling your Action Abe? And he said no.
Mm.
And he messaged me out of the blue. It was after CB day 3. Would I consider selling or trading my black jumpsuit Elvis, which at the time was like, it was like the, I think was maybe the best figure on CB day 3. Looking back,
yeah.
People may not agree, but that was definitely like one of the most
figures
before
hyped.
The event. Like, I think you got one, right?
Yeah, and I remember it going on, and I was so pissed that you like he hit you up,
yeah.
instead of me.
But I mean, back then, like the price difference between the two, like,
wasn't as vast. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I'd still now. I bet I like if I that black jumpsuit Elvis was probably like a $400 figure. I would not be surprised on eBay.
Mm. I'd say
on eBay,
but...
no. There, have you ever seen a Elvis misprint on eBay? No, except the yellow garbage one with the white waist. But
that okay, like, that is fair. That is fair. There really has
I've never
been one.
They really never show up any Elvis misprints anymore.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm kind of forgetting how exclusive the Elvis.
I just need the blue one.
There really
There's only one blue one
that.
Out there. I just need the blue one.
Oh.
There's only one blue one out there. It was on CB day 1. is the last one I need to have them all, but I have no clue who has it. No clue.
Probably Danny.
I've checked. I don't think so. And if he did, I'd never get it. Never. Unless it was a duplicate and I had something that he like really wanted. Only time he's ever offered to trade with me was a few years ago. He's gone one since. I had like a staff torso. It's like a just a regular CB torso. It says a black torso. It says staff in white on it. And he wanted it like so bad. But I'm like, oh, I only have one. It's really cool. And he's like, I want it. I want it.
Yo, I finally figured out what those were from.
What
the staff torso? There was a commission that on the back it said staff. It was this like red astronaut thing. I got it out of the bin the last Brick Fair. And I didn't know that it had staff on the back until like I was messing around. And I was like, holy crap, this is what like originated the staff torso. So that's that would also explain really why they're also a bit elusive. Because it was just the back print of what was a commission. And the commission was technically on a red torso, so the black ones are like,
so it's like a misprint,
just a small
too.
Extra, a little line. Yeah, in a way.
So, yeah. I mean, but like, I traded with that guy. He just hit me up. He didn't even say he was trading the Action Abe at first. I'm like, I don't really want to trade the black jumpsuit Elvis, but what do you have? Because like, whenever someone asks if you want to trade something, I always ask to see what they have, because it can't hurt.
Yeah, you never know.
And he's like, I trade my Action Abe. And I'm like, do you want me to add something in? And he's like, no. So I traded it. I did it. I was like still a little disappointed though. I'm like, oh, I didn't want to get rid of my black jumpsuit Elvis. And then like 2 months later, I went to CBHQ and Joe had black jumpsuit Elvis just sitting there. So I got it back. So I have $30 all
that in. Is a fairy tale ending right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy, but, dude.
I mean, a lot of my best stuff I feel like is from trading.
Yeah. Especially at cons, not many people are like really receptive to selling at when you're at conventions and hitting the pavement. Like they want to trade,
unless it's like Saturday. Like people are like broke. Like people go broke during the private days and they need money. That's when you could buy stuff.
Oh, true. That's so true. That's so true.
It is.
When somebody's really like hard up and they can't buy McDonald's, that's when it comes in. You're like, all right, bet. Yeah.
You have to wait until after that's they go so through true. The bin. I've done that a few times. I bought stuff at cons and like strange. I usually get good deals.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, if you do get the opportunity to buy at cons, it's always pretty much a good deal. Yeah. It's gonna be curious now going back though, because I think since the last con, I mean the last one I was at, CB started to inflate, but now it's had a long time to inflate up, so the culture's gonna be a bit different.
I was at
a bunch
I think
of these kids
what
are gonna
was
be
like,
oh, but I got
second
this.
To last
it's
be
con. So rare.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like I hate. I
Which
know,
one?
I hate, but like there are so many like people that like are getting into it just for the clout, and I'm sick of it. Like there are people that are getting into the hobby just to fit into the community. And I mean, here's my thing. Like the reason people are like, oh, you're the CB historian. And I'm like, I'm not a historian. I just looked at Flickr and remembered it all. Like if you actually want to be a big member of the community and be really interested, try and learn as much about it as you can. Go through the old CB Instagram posts, go through the old Flickr, learn what you can, try and see all the figures they made and learn about it. And that's the best way that you can, I think, involve yourself in the community. If you actually want to be knowledgeable at it versus DMing people, is this rare? How much do you think this is worth?
Yeah.
I think there's too much of that now.
It's not even just like being excited about the product and like you want to get involved in the community. Like you want to go back through those Flickr posts, those old Instagram posts, and like just absorb as much as you can and like learn about what's out there. Like it should be an exciting thing, like if you were involved in it, but now it's a whole sect of people just getting into it because it's like, oh, well, this is easy money. Money go burr, you know?
Well, I think it's harder to get just, into it
now. You buy
now
a couple
because,
random
like,
figures and then...
It's harder to get into it now because, like, you and me, we were on Flickr when there was maybe 50 CB Flickr posts. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't hard to look at them all.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't hard to find out everything. And we followed CB.
And
we
were
Instagram.
Just there
we saw
as
all
it
the
happened.
New stuff. We were just... Yeah, we just saw it happen. And then we just happen to look back. So that's how you do it. And I get why it's harder to do it now, but I mean, if some people at least put in put in effort. Please put in effort, guys. It's just...
Yeah, I'm not necessarily annoyed by people referring to us to, like, be like, oh, do you have insight on this? Because there is some, like...
I'm not annoyed. Pieces, I mean, but... I actually like educating people about it. I like helping people be interested in the community. I actually enjoy that. It's one of the best parts of it. But when you just show little regard for, like, our advice, like, and stuff, and don't put any effort into it yourself, that's, like, you're kind of, like, abusing us, I feel like. Would you agree?
Mm. Yeah, abusing might be a bit strong, but it's, like, you're kind of just getting used to get the end goal of, like, yeah, well, can I sell this for a lot of money or not? Because, like, when you're talking back and forth with them, and you give this, like, whole spiel about why it's exciting or important, and then it's like, all right, cool, so how much is it worth, though? And then it's like, okay.
Yeah. Yep. I'm not a fan.
So how much should I list it on eBay for? Like, oh, okay,
I can't believe I've actually had people say that direct to me in the DMs. How much is this worth on eBay?
Yeah.
It's like, it's wow. I don't like it anyways, but if you actually want to get involved in community, DM me. I'll help you. I'll give you info. Just please don't ask what you should list it on eBay for. Yeah. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
Kind of a tangent off that. I get referred to a lot for, like, price checks on stuff. And what's really awkward is when it's, like, two people that you both know and they're working out the same trade and they both hit you up to give out a value on it, and you're like, which one of you do I like more? God, who's gonna get the better deal on this?
Yeah. I think there was one time, like, kind of similar to that. There was one guy in a group chat, he was selling some old Steam meat, whatever, and I got one thing and I was being bid up by someone. And I'm like, okay, I have to know who's bidding me up on this. I have to know. And it turns out it was Mike, Citizen Hoarder. And I think, like, we came to an agreement, and I think I let him buy it, but then I got something else because we're like, we don't want to keep bidding each other up. This was like a year ago, probably. But I hate the Instagram auctions too. Oh my God. I hate, like,
I was just about to say that. That is the
worst.
And
then they do the fake bids. I guarantee you, like, I would not be surprised if maybe 50% of them use fake bids. I'm not, like, saying any names or anything, but I know I hear people all the time. And same thing with offers, like making me an offer. I don't care if you make an offer. There are a lot of honest people, but there's also some, like, oh, I offer 35, and they're like, oh, I just got an offer of 50. When you go to 51, and I say no, and they're like, okay, I'll take 35. Like, okay, you just lied to me. It's pretty obvious.
Exactly. Yeah, that is the worst. Because it's always, you'll hit them up and, like, all right, how much for this? All right, well, give me an offer. You give an offer. Okay, well, I'll have to get back to you. There's a lot of interest, yada, yada, yada. Somebody comes with this amount higher. Will you go that? And you say no. And then a week later, they're posting the same thing on their story because nobody ever offered them. It was just you. And they just decided not to sell because they were still trying to squeeze you for extra money. Such a pain.
Yep.
I think that's like honestly one of the worst, like, worst, I want to call it a trend, but something that kind of turned commonplace amongst a lot of the younger sellers and stuff.
The, like, newer, it's so, collectors.
So annoying.
Or sellers.
And you don't think that, like, the more veteran people don't notice that.
Yeah.
We do. I mean, and we don't like it. Like, it doesn't, if you're really trying to, like, be a respectable person in the community and have good reputation, because I really believe, like, once I got more involved with a lot of the collectors, what goes around, like, comes around, and you can legitimately find other collectors which you could be really tight with. And, you know, like, for anyone listening, you can see how insane the market is, right? Like, there's no way that me or Parker are going on eBay every week and we're buying whatever thing went for $100 because that's what we needed. Like, we're getting it in different ways through friends who were able to pick up a second one, but we hooked them up last month with this thing that we were able to get a second one of. So it all just comes around. And at the end of the day, we're just getting it for retail because of that. So I'm not saying to become friendly with people just to get stuff out of it, but you can genuinely form, like, beneficial relationships in the community through being like just an upstanding individual and helping others out in the community. It's not all about the dollar.
Yeah, which is why you haven't like risen to prominent status in the community. No comment.
Was that it? Are you targeting me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've seen it a lot. It's kind of just what goes around comes around in one way or another. And I don't mean that like in a malicious way or anything, but it's just, that's how it always unfolds. You're nice. You're going to get nice things done to you.
If you help other people are going to help you. It just comes back.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're difficult to deal with, you're going to have difficulty dealing with others when you try and trade with them. It's just, it's how it goes.
Yep. I can think of multiple names when you said that.
Oh, yeah.
I've probably listed like 15 people in my
head. I've got 5 on my head right now. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it could go on and on, but there was like an immediate 5, a quick fiver, just like.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely, definitely. For sure, as you would say.
For sure.
Like your catchphrase.
Yeah.
You need like a name to call your fans. You need, because like every like YouTube channel, they have like something called all their fans. Can you like, you should like call your fans like the Kotchers.
I might as well just call them the Hinks. Come on.
So nobody knows what that means except us. Got a
nice ring to it. Definitely not offensive.
It does. Not at all. It's H-I-N-K-S.
It's me, your boy. Yeah.
No, I that's gonna like fly over. Nobody even knows what that means.
Nobody, but none of our friends. It's so just us.
It's just us.
It is. It's terrific.
I don't even want to explain it because I just want people to be more confused.
Yeah. So going back to like your brick loot stuff and just business adventures, you've expanded into doing your own printing. Would you mind talking about that a little bit?
Yeah, we have a UV printer, a pretty big UV printer. I mean, we now, like every month, we try and do a custom Lego minifigure. So we print those all in-house now. And then when we have time and the printer's not in use, because we do a lot of corporate clients as well, like Fortune 500 brands, a lot of that kind of stuff too, we do that. So when I have like free time on the printer, I'll print my own stuff. Like I did, you can check my page. I did Blade Runner figures. I did an Elon Musk. So I do lots of my own custom figures now. I have some more that I'm working on currently. They'll come soon. But UV printer is definitely... and I want to clear up the misconception about the UV printer. You might know this because you helped out Victor for a while. It's not as easy as I used to think. Oh, you just put it in the jig and you put the art in the file and you press print and it's done. It's not that easy at all.
Yeah, printer go burr.
Yeah, I wish it was that easy. But you're going to have to do a lot of test prints, a lot of work on alignment to get stuff done. It's not as easy as you just put in.
It's why digital printing has like such a bad rap, is because everyone thinks it's so easy. So everyone's like, all right, yeah, I pick up a digital printer and then I just print this stuff. And that's why everyone's like, oh yeah, UV sucks, because all these people just treat it like it's a paper printer. And
I would actually say
stuff in there and have their things.
I'd say the difficulty is comparable to pad, actually. Like if you have no Photoshop, no anything editing experience, and you're just learning everything from the top, I'd say it's comparable to pad. It's a lot less like handwork as pad, but it's a lot of stuff to take in and learn. And you just learn all these techniques and have to use them at the right time. Like for example, if you're printing a yellow on red and a yellow on blue, they're not going to work. You have to do white underneath, but you may need 2 coats of white if your white isn't as solid as towards the end of the cartridge. Like there's a lot of stuff you have to pick up.
See, I didn't even know that, like in terms of how the colors interact, but yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, like most of the time,
I've known it's always a factor,
most of the time colors really don't work on stuff. You have to do white underneath for it to pop.
Yeah.
Because UV ink is actually translucent in a way. So when you print on, if you're printing yellow, it'll be like a translucent yellow on top of red, and it just won't work. So you have to do white underneath for it to actually be the full yellow.
Makes sense.
So it's much harder than it seems versus like pad, where You don't always need white underneath. I mean, you can if you want it to be more crisp and color match better, but you don't have to put white underneath. So, and there's also stuff that UV can do that pad can't. Like, you can add gloss on UV, which isn't necessarily the best for, like, Lego style stuff. But, I mean, like, if you're doing, like, a corporate commission, you want, like, the logo to really pop. Like, you can put gloss on it and make it really cool. Like, it has a lot of, they both, pad and UV both have their pluses and minuses. I don't know if one is better than the other. I mean, if you're, like, Lego purist, I think pad matches more clearly. If you like more design stuff, then UV is better. I like both. I'm fine with both. I buy CB. I buy Eclipse Graphics. I make my own stuff. I think both are great.
Yeah, I'm with you. We got to stop the UV hate. All right.
No more UV hate.
Not that bad. With your custom figures, are you the one designing them as well?
No, we actually have a designer that does it. Actually, they used to work at Lego.
Oh, wow.
Like they did freelance work for Lego a while ago, I think. I think it was freelance. I don't think they actually were in Denmark. I don't know. Because they're not in Denmark now. I don't think so. I don't know where they are. But anyways, they used to work for Lego. And they were like the perfect person. But they hadn't done Lego in like so long. Like it was like 5 years after they stopped. So they were like a little rough at first. But now they're like pretty spot on. That's, like Lego that's cool. style, like I think they nailed it. I don't know if you saw, I sent like an image of the design, a design in the group chat yesterday.
Yeah, the new one, yeah.
I saw that. Yeah, I don't want anybody to steal the idea because I feel like that would be something TMC would do. I don't want the wicked wiener Garrett to listening and steal it.
And but, Garrett, if you're listening, come on the podcast. But
we'll talk. We just talk. It's like, I want him to steal it. Like, that totally seems like something he would do, though, that set that I'm working on.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Anyways, but, like, that
design, just on principle, that he would steal it.
Yeah. But if you thought that design was good, that's what my person does in terms of caliber of design.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was really good.
I may even pad print that one. I'm looking into pad printing for that because it may sell more than UV.
Ooh.
I'm emailing my guy.
Especially
Because I shared it and there was a
just get it
my guy.
Just get it done through Citizenbrook and then it'll instantly sell out.
Oh my god.
It'll instantly sell out if it's CB.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. The thing is, if I could, like, cause pad printing I'm gonna have to do at least 100, and I'm like, okay. Like with my Blade Runner figs I do now, I print like 5 or 10 at a time, and then when they sell out, I just print 5 or 10 more. Like, I kind of do it on a rolling basis.
Mm.
Like, I can't, like, undersell, really.
And that's one of the benefits of UV. Except
for the parts. Like, I just bought a... Yeah. And then, but for pad, like, I have to know I have 100. And I'm like, I don't think I could do this, even though, like, this fig I kind of want to try in that. But then there was so much interest in misprint colors, like gold. And then I was thinking, oh, a blue misprint would be cool. And I'm thinking, if I actually did that, it wouldn't be unfeasible to do. 100.
Once you add misprints into the mix, like those limited quantities that you have to meet for pad printing, they kind of, it gets lowered. It's not as difficult to reach that number.
Yeah.
Or printing commissions in general.
Yeah.
I got like the Bricks and Banner torsos right now for with Eclipse Graphics being printed. And same thing. I was like, all right, well, I'm only doing 100. But it was like, once I split the mix with like 50 black and 50 misprint colors, it was like, all right, well, that was really fast to gather all the torsos. If there's not, I'll make a purple one just for you.
Thank you.
What I'm planning to do,
Father,
is I might not send it out like, you're welcome, son. I might not send it out like right off the bat, but most of the people who've been on the podcast, I regularly send stuff to. So whoever's been a guest will automatically get a torso. So yeah, I'll make sure there's a purple one for you.
Okay, yeah, that'd be sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not getting the purple only blind ones. I hate the.
You're only getting Dash, into yeah.
But I'm doing my CB commission, and Mike is getting the 1 of 2 lime.
What?
He's gonna. When he did my sticker, he's like,
yeah?
"I'm not gonna do the sticker design for you unless." You let me buy the 1 of 2 lime. And it was like strong armed. I even like tried waiting a day, I think. Like, nope, don't want to do it. And he's like, only way.
That's bad, bro.
I know.
That's
so funny. Don't like take me out of the group chat dash. Take out Mike.
Mike is playing hardball with these commissions, bro. He's getting so many misprints. It's crazy.
He did your Bricks and Banner sticker, right? Like the brick one?
He did my logo. Yeah, he did the logo.
Did you have to trade for the
podcast? No, it was around one of the Citizen Brick drops, so he's like, yeah, it's cool, you could just pay me. He left it up to me either way. I looked around for stuff, but I was like, yeah, there's not really anything, like, significant that would kind of work.
He made me trade also for mine, like, the yellow, like, Star Trek head. Do you know what I'm talking about? The one with the goggles?
Yeah, the Geordi. Whatever guy.
He wanted, like, I have one on, like, I think silver and translucent clear. He wanted those. I'm like, nope. But I get rid of my yellow because I'm not like a yellow. I don't ever really use yellow in anything.
You know, it was like a crazy. I don't know if I mentioned it in the chat, but I did a big sale. I sold a bunch of stuff to him, and it was a pretty sizable sale. And I was before like crypto has been a hot topic with like not outside of just like our friend group discussing
Dash Coin,
just, like, culturally. Dash Coin. It's gonna be huge. Coin. You could get 1,000 coins for $10. It's such a steal. Just think, if it gets as large as Bitcoin, you'll be a millionaire. But I was just looking into it pretty extensively while we were dealing. And so I was just bullshitting around. And I was like, yeah, thanks so much for the sale. This is going to buy me like 5,000 whatever Doge coins.
Mm-hmm.
And... because it was like a cent at the time. I actually don't know. It was like maybe like 50,000. I don't know.
I remember when it was under a cent and like Elon Musk tweeted about him because like I kind of follow him a lot. Yeah. And I wish I got into it because I thought it was like a joke. Like, and it still is a joke. Like, it was created to be a joke.
I sold it to him. I sold all that stuff and made that joke that I'm going to buy Dogecoin with it the week before it pumped up to where it went, like right before the pump. If I had done that, dude, that would have been the hugest trade or sale of like stuff I would have ever done. I would have
went
eight
to, like,
times what it was up to 8 cents at one point.
Yeah, it was like I think,
and
it was
I would
7.9.
have bought in at 1 cent per. Dude, yeah. I would have eight times on what I sold him. It would have been tremendous.
I remember when it was under a cent. Like Elon Musk would tweet about it. Like, I don't invest in Bitcoin, only Dogecoin, and then like. When that happened, it'd go from like half a cent to a cent, and everybody's like, whoa, I doubled my money. Like, and then when he didn't tweet about it, slowly dropped down, which is kind of happening now, but I think it's like still like 3 or 4 cents, which is still a lot.
It's been consistent at five.
Yeah.
5 cents to six. Yeah.
That's
a huge difference.
2 months ago, it was at a
being
penny.
Stable at 1 cent or lower. Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in my day, Dogecoin used to be the lint out of your pocket. Okay, but anyway, Mike's a dope dude, even if he has to strong arm you for misprints.
Yeah, Dashbrick's gonna email or not email message me as soon as he listens. Just if he listens.
Oh dude, he's gonna be so pissed.
It's not me, it was Mike. It had to be done. It was the only way.
I think this is the first friendship we've ruined on Bricks and Banter.
I admitted it though. It wasn't like an expose. It was like
it wasn't a hit piece.
No.
You heard it here first. Parker only came on to do a hit job on Mike. This is messed up.
It was Mike's fault. Oh my god.
So we got some interesting questions just going through the Instagram poll here. First up, this one will be a quick one, is from Zach Brickman. And I'm actually, first off, before we get into it, I want to commend you on going 46 minutes without once saying Spring Breakers. I'm absolutely shocked. I'm so, so amazed at your bravery to not speak about your Spring Breaker set for more than 45 minutes. It's really commendable. But Zach Brickman comes in asking, are you jealous of BC's Spring Breaker set because it's actually complete and has the pink ski mask?
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, I'm not jealous of the price.
Damn.
But
true that.
I mean, BC's.
Do you still have
person.
Hope that you'll find the ski mask?
No. Okay, here's a question. This does me flexing spring breakers too much hurt other people's spring breakers flexes? Like other people that flex spring breakers, no. Is it like less of a flex because they're like, oh, Parker has one?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's like, oh,
I just
wow.
want your insight, but because like I can't view it that way. Cause
something original from a new person, that's cool. You know?
Oh.
You, it's just outplayed.
That's dumb.
It's overdone, you know? But, you know, soon enough, like it or not, you're going to get the Hall of Fame medal, and that's all we're going to hear about for like the next 2 years until some other cool flex comes along. So, I mean, the spring breakers will have their time and time to recuperate after being, you know, beaten to death as your only flex. But
it would be an honor. I would retire the flex of spring breakers if that happened.
If
it's a big if,
it's inevitable. I think with your long history and literally, like, you say that you're not the historian, but I certainly look to you as one because you know a lot more even than I do about the stuff. So I always respected not even just that you have the knowledge about it, but that you love those like oddball history pieces, like for instance this brick paper.
I have like a big CB paper collection for those that don't know. Like, I know not a lot of people like them as much, but like CB, their old figures used to be in bags and then they had a little plastic or a little paper card at the top. Technically, they actually usually go for less on eBay, believe it or not, than the card ones because they're harder to display. But I think
really?
They're much. Yes.
That's whack. No, I love the old. I would love to have an old baggy figure.
I got a bunch. I have like three bagged figure sealed, one bagged figure open, and then I have like four or five bagged things of like tiles and heads. They're super hard to come by. They really never show up on eBay. Most of them are sold privately, and there's not many because it's much easier to open a bag than like a card, because like the card is more of a display piece. Like, you can put the card on display, but the bag is kind of lame because it's kind of just like what they used to hang it up on. But I think that makes it neater because it's like an old piece of CB.
Yeah, it's a relic. Before. Like, it shouldn't have survived. Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. My true red stuff that I got, I've kept sealed until I like want a photo with it just in case. Just so that like if there is a real longevity in true red stuff, it's like, damn, all right, I do have a sealed piece for them, you know?
I just like carefully take out the staples. So like I'm like kind of like a hoarder. Like I have like a drawer in my office with like all the packaging for figures and stuff, like clamshells and stuff. Cause
yeah, I got
like,
a box.
If I ever want to sell the figure of, I need the packaging, but like the true red stuff, like I didn't want to keep in the bag, but I also like didn't want to ruin it. So I just like carefully took out the staples so I didn't rip the bag or the card.
Mm. How do you feel about the true red stuff?
I think they're good. I like his style. Like, I think he's working on his own style and he's getting better. There are like some little like minor critiques. Like, I'm still going to keep buying them, but like, I feel like there's like some things. Like, he posted a figure the other day, like the tie, like it's a little weird. Like, I get that he has his own art style, but like some of it just feels a little bit like out of Lego. Like, some of his like shirtless designs and stuff.
Yeah,
it's different than what a Lego shirtless would be. And I mean, like, I like that he has his own style, but I think he should like start combining the two a little bit more on bodies at least, so it could fit in better with like other customs. I think it's good that he has his own unique niche and his kind of own unique design style, but I'd like if he kind of mixed it a little bit more with a little bit of a Lego-ish flair to
aesthetic. Yeah, because then it could be combined with like normal Lego things too. Yeah, I get what you mean. The way I viewed it, and it's funny because a buddy of mine was asking why I was buying true red stuff, and I just didn't have the care to actually go into the rant. I was like, I don't know, I'm just a slut for plastic. I left it at that. But it kind of actually came down to what you're talking about, because he's more military. It's Sean Starconics, if you know him. So shout out Sean. But it was kind of just like, being in the military community, everything's about like, what can I use that for that's different than its intended purpose, and to like revitalize pieces and use them creatively. And I love that. I mean, I'm always focused on that thing too, but I have just inherently like a collector itch to me. So I'm kind of split between the two things in my Lego hobby. Like, they're both very distinct worlds. But obviously having like a nice collection of parts can play into, you know, having parts to use creatively. But regardless, the True Red stuff's really appealed to me, although it's not as usable like that. Like, it's less versatile, just because it's kind of got, it reminds me of very like art toy stuff, where it has like this very distinct weird style. And I feel like that's pretty interesting to bring into the Lego format. Like, it definitely feels like a premium art toy sort of thing.
I feel like, I don't know if you'll agree on this, I feel like CB is kind of like part of the art toy realm now, more than it used to be.
Yes, it's transformed into that. Yeah, I agree.
Because there's people that don't buy any Lego that buy CB.
And Citizen Brick, yes. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that's, again, coming from like the military community stuff. A lot of people are annoyed at Citizen Brick for changing directions a bit and like shifting gears into more collector-centric items instead of things that are usable. And I don't think it's a thing of like Citizen Brick selling out or something like that. Like, they've shifted their goals, and what they're making now is aligned with those, that it's more like they have a much wider audience than people who are making military or people who are making mocks specifically. Like, there's a lot of people who, to quote the great Spencer, do you even use it? There's a lot of people who don't use it, you know, in that traditional sense. It is a sad rip, you know? Like, there's people who've gotten into it that are strictly just out the gate collectors. Like, there's nothing else, you know? And that's interesting. It's a really interesting, I don't know, space that they've kind of found themselves in and evolved into. But I don't mind it. I'm here for it all.
I think like it also comes up to sales, because like, when's the last time you saw a new modern military CB torso release sell out on the first day? I don't think that's ever happened in CB history, but Beastie Boys sell out first day.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. I think CB knows their market. I mean, they will do more military stuff and usable stuff because they have to keep those people in. Help those people out, but they know what their market is. They know.
It's not even just like
Joe has to make a living, guys.
Besides that, though, again, I want to go back to the point of it not being a sellout thing, because I've talked to Joe and he enjoys doing military stuff. Like, it's not just that. He's got to provide for people, you know, his family running a business like that. And so when he can, he still wants to make military things, but I don't know. It's not it's not keeping the lights on necessarily. So.
Yeah, definitely.
So for this week's Copper Drop, we have first up the Citizen Brick Yakuza Ink Enthusiast version 3, potentially. Hopefully these are getting released with Citizen Brick Day. I'd assume so, based on them like teasing this around the same time. But, you know, that's up in there. Who's to say for sure? I'm so excited. Is this a copper or a drop for you?
Well, before that, you missed your catchphrase. Usually you say, if you like it, you cop it. If you don't, you drop it. So I'm just saying that you missed out on that. This is a first ever for maybe a Bricks and Banner episode.
I don't think it's a first ever. I think sure? I just respect you. I actually respected you for once and knew that you were competent to understand what was going on.
Yeah.
And but you decided to take that opportunity as weakness and roast me for it, which I respect. I respect. You know, you got to kick a man while he's down, so...
Yeah. So, I mean,
Parker, if you like it, you cop it. And if you don't, you drop it. There you go.
Okay.
Yakuza V3 Ink Enthusiast. Go.
Okay. So I think it's really nice. I mean, I buy anything that CB makes, really thing wise. I don't buy like everything they make. I mean, like, if it's like a weird zombie body and I have no care for it, I won't buy it. If it's a military thing, I usually will skip out on it unless it's Vietnam, whatever. But so this figure, it's really nice. I like, every time I zoom into it, I notice more little details. Like, you see the dragon and maybe what looks to be a devil, I don't know, on his chest.
Oh, the devil mask thing. Oh my god, I love that so much.
On the leg, there's like a tiger, there's a fish. It's so good.
I'm just realizing how many flowers there are, which is a huge love of mine. I love
to send you flowers.
Yes, please. No, I just love art of flowers, drawings of them, and specifically just the old tattoo style. It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, I think this figure, I mean, it'd be a cop no matter what, but I think this is going to be, I hope he does the regular figure of this on Light Flesh.
Yes, I was just about to mention that. What I'm hoping to see is that, like some of the recent releases that have multiple colors, there'll be a drop-down tab. And I'm hoping that when these release, instead of getting those misprint colors through Citizen Brick, like, you know, the randoms, that there'll be a drop-down tab and it could be like reddish brown, light flesh, you know, whatever. That'd be sick.
That's actually a good idea. Because, I mean, like, last time there was, like, the light flesh ink enthusiast, even back then when CB, like, I'm kind of, like, going on a tangent anyways, but, like, the V2 ink enthusiast, light flesh, like, that was, at the time, the most sought-after CB piece. I mean, if you put up an Action Abe and a V2 light flesh ink enthusiast, honestly, I think the light flesh ink enthusiast would have sold faster back in 2017 or whatever, 2016.
Yeah. I mean, possible.
Those were so sought after, but they weren't expensive
either. It's so iconic is the thing.
I mean, they were expensive back then.
It was the trademark figure for them almost.
Yes. I mean, like, but like, I remember a higher end on Flickr and they would sell was like $150. But looking back, like $150, I'd buy like 10 of those now if I could for $150. Right.
There hasn't been one that's sold or exchanged hands that like any of us know of in years.
I haven't, no.
Like,
because they're all
it would be insane.
Danny has them all.
Yeah. Whoever has them doesn't want to get rid of it. I mean,
yeah.
It would be insane to see one go up for sale. I'd say at least 500. Yeah, I'd say at least 500.
For sure.
Yeah, that would be nuts. But anyway, I'm super excited about that. That's,
I just hope the base color isn't yellow. I hope it's light flesh. And if
I think
it is yellow,
will be, and I don't mind. I don't mind. I like yellow.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, I hope if he does do it yellow, I hope that he makes enough light flesh misprints to go around for everyone.
To satisfy. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, satisfy everyone, you'd need to make, like, I don't know, 50, 60 light flesh ones at least.
I'd probably like 150, but yeah. 50 is at least enough to be like, I tried.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, we got True Red's been amping up with a bunch of new releases. The first full-looking figure that's been highlighted on their Instagram is the Melted Ink Boy. How are you feeling on that one?
Honestly, this is kind of a drop for me. I mean, like, the head I like. I think it's cool. I like the head. I kind of like the squiggle mouth. But the body... It looks
this
like,
is bringing up
it looks
your
like
concerns on the chest.
It
yeah,
looks
this
like
is exactly your concerns about like the weird body.
It looks like somebody is crying design. And drooling at the same time. It looks like a hammerhead shark. Like if you look really closely, like do you see
yeah,
what
I can
kind of
see that. Yeah.
Like I'm not a big
it's
fan
a, it's
of that
a weird
body.
One.
So I'm gonna drop that, but I will cop. Like he's working on what seems to be like a Reservoir Dogs fig. That's definite cop. Definite.
That one's super sick.
I think he posted the head somewhere on his story, maybe. I don't know. But it looked really good.
And there's that...
The body, the bloody torso.
The astronaut-looking one that's coming out, too, which is pretty cool. I like
is that
the printing
supposed
on the
to be
back
Among Us imposter? Is that supposed to be Among Us imposter?
Among Us? Get out of here. Leave. So, last up here, this was on the last episode, but we have Fresh Stock Blocks, Sergeant S'more. At the time of recording this, they've actually released, and I believe you actually got your misprint one today, didn't you?
Yes. Okay. So my thing was, I knew like he had a decent amount of stock, like, and I didn't want, like, I was saving for CB Day. I bought a lot of stuff recently, so I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna get the misprint. I don't need to get the regular one yet. I will soon. I probably will like within a week or so. But I would like first time I saw the fig, I thought it was kind of a cool idea. And then looking at it more, I'm like, it kind of grew less on me. And then as soon as I got the Dark Azure misprint, I think it actually looks really sick in person. Like, I think it's actually a great fig. in person. So it was going to be a cop no matter what, but this is definite cop. I mean, my misprint version, it actually looks really fantastic in person. Like, if you're on the edge, I'd buy it. Support them. Hopefully I'll make some more figs soon. I think it actually looks really good in person.
Yeah. I think it was a really creative release. I like to see people doing like a commission where it's kind of bringing their own idea to the table and having Joe like bring it to life. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, I don't see too much of that anymore. I mean, especially since like Joe's kind of stopped doing original figures too. Like his whole business, if you look back to like 2011 or 2010 when he started, it was almost all like original figures, like the Action Abe, the Leather Enthusiast, the Biker Guys, the Ink Enthusiast. Like those were all his own things. But now it's all pop culture, and I feel like this is kind of satisfying that need a little bit for something out of the box original.
I actually hadn't realized that. That is very interesting. I definitely love to see him bring back a lot more of the originals, because there's the Botany Enthusiast, of course, which is a reoccurring character.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, there's nothing except like reworks, right? Because there was an V3 Norwegian.
Well, and if you want to count like the bowling guys, but like that's a little bit different. I'm talking about like an actual like.
I would count those. Minifigure. I would count those.
I guess, but I don't know. It just feels like.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think thinking about it, there is enough of them sprinkled in like the past like couple, you know, releases and whatnot. Like it's not that far. Yeah, it's not that far and few between, but it's definitely not as abundant as it used to be, where it was like a lot of original figures, which I would definitely like to see more of.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, for sure. Well, you've gotten through the gauntlet of Copper Drop. Thank you for being on the podcast, Parker. We're also going to record a Patreon episode. We're actually not going to do it tonight, though, due to time constraints, so we're going to come back, do it on Friday. But by the time you guys are listening to this, if you're a patron, it'll be up the same time as the Monday release. So stay tuned for that. Any last words, Parker?
This is for like the new collectors out there. If you're listening, like, don't be afraid to start small. You don't have to jump into it. You don't have to start buying $100 figures. Buy what you like. Start out small. You could start out buying some weapon packs. Start by buying like Brick Forge, that kind of stuff. You don't have to start buying $100 CB figures to fit in. Just buy what you like. If you're interested in, that's good enough. I think that will actually make you appreciate the hobby more, and that'll make you be in it more long term. So I hope more people get into it that way rather than just going head first into it.
Yeah, 100%. A wise man once told me you can't have it all, so just focus on the figures you like, you know. And that wise man was a boomer named Karen, a.k.a. Citizen Six, a.k.a. Derek.
Oh.
Shout out to him. But at the same time, he takes longer to trade with than you do. So kind of got to – that's a drop.
I've been waiting to trade with him.
Derek, that's a drop, okay?
I have a trade with him that we've been trying to do maybe for a year, but like it's kind of my
fault. I'm not even surprised.
I just never pull out stuff to do because I know it's like a side, and I guess I'm kind
of
lazy.
Yeah, the two of you can send texts back and forth for a month of, oh yeah, I'm going to send a pic tonight. All right, yeah, sure. Sure you are. Okay. Dude. Yeah, the two of you trading, it'll be the infinity trade. It'll never actually happen. It'll be Schrodinger's trade. It's like, yeah. Did it happen? You know, did it not?
If nobody hears about the trade has happened and hasn't happened simultaneously,
exactly. The trade simultaneously has been completed and not started at the same time. So, and with that, thank you so much again for being on, Parker. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, share it with a friend or leave a review for us on iTunes. If you don't want the conversation to end, head over to Patreon and access an additional 50-minute conversation with me and Parker. Speaking of the Patreon, I want to give a huge thank you to all of our patrons over on Patreon. We have Seth, Luger Enthusiast, Tupolev, Mike, Justin, Francisco, Dash Bricks, Milo, J Bricks, PK Custom Lego, and Kashi Lego. It's beginning to be a mouthful. Thank you all so much. I can't believe all your guys' support. If you're interested in supporting the podcast as well, you could check out our Instagram bio. There's a Linktree link that will lead you directly to it. Thank you all again for listening, and come back next week as we talk with Jeremy, aka Commander Turtles.